Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Pastor Marlon. Thanks, everybody, as always, for joining us. We are really honored to have this guest on today because, in my view, he has really made an historic contribution to our understanding of the importance of life, and particularly to the Black community having to confront this disproportionate number of Black babies that are being aborted. So I'll introduce him in a second. But first, as always, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful, as always, to be Americans because of the liberty we enjoy, the liberty to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the liberty to preach the truth, the liberty to speak to one another openly and forthrightly without fear of a government wanting to arrest us or punish us or torture us because they don't like the views we hold. But Lord, these values of free speech and freedom of religion are under tremendous assault today. And there are people who really would prefer to silence those of us who are proclaiming the truth than to allow us to be heard. It's happening in big tech. It's happening with government. It's happening in the collusion of the two. But Lord, we thank you for this conference call and the opportunity that we have to express ourselves without fear of a midnight knock on the door saying you're under arrest because of the things that you said on that program. So, Lord, may that freedom be preserved for every single American, those who agree with us and those who don't agree. Lord, we want freedom for everyone. We don't want freedom for ourselves and persecution and lack of freedom for others. We want it for everyone. But the people who are opposing us, they want freedom for themselves, of course, but they don't want freedom for the rest of us, those of us who oppose the things that they're doing. They want freedom to teach children that their gender is not fixed, but they don't want us to have the freedom to tell a child, no, you are born male or female, and those are the only two genders that exist. They want freedom to celebrate the killing of unborn babies, but they don't want us to have the freedom to say that's morally wrong. You are taking a human life. And so, Lord, we want freedom so that the marketplace of ideas can encompass everyone and give the American people an opportunity to really decide what they think is right rather than be told what is right and told what they will believe and what they will think and what they will say and what they will hear. And so, Lord, help us to preserve this constitutional republic that has done so much for so many for so long. We haven't been a perfect nation. We know that. But, Lord God, we have been a nation rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian principles, and those foundations have been honored by you, and I believe that's been the key to America's great blessing and success. May that continue, Lord, and may we do it better. May we become more a nation whose God is the Lord. May we have the righteous in authority so that the people can rejoice. And we thank and praise you for how far we've come. We're almost a quarter of a millennium old as a nation. And Lord, may we continue as a righteous nation until Jesus comes, a shining city on a hill, until finally the one to whom we look for absolute perfection takes the throne and establishes his kingdom in the earth and in the entire universe. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 Well, folks, like I said, I'm honored to have the guest that we have today because he is one of my heroes, one of the people who, in my view, does not get all the recognition that he deserves, although many know who he is and recognize him. He does not get all the recognition he deserves because he's made such a tremendous contribution to the most fundamental issue of our time, in my view, life. In my humble opinion, pre-Civil War, slavery was the moral issue of our time. But in this day and age, abortion, the killing of unborn babies, is the moral issue of our time. And if we don't get that one right, I don't know how we get anything else right. And this has been one of the leaders who has helped us get it right. So Pastor Johnny Hunter, you've read his bio. He is the founder of Learn. He has been a pro-life warrior for as long as I've known him, as long as I can remember. And I'll give you an opportunity to tell you about some of his experiences and how he came to be what he is. But Pastor Johnny Hunter, thank you so much for joining us here on the National Awakening Coalition call. And my friend, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Bishop Jackson. I hope that everybody can hear me well. Understand with you. I hardly know where to begin, so everybody bear with me as a moment that I kind of go around a circle, especially for the black church involved with abortion right now. It's very key that they do. And right now, our nation and every one of you, we are facing a whole multitude of attacks coming from various areas. But you have to notice the same people that support abortion are the same ones that have no problem with child mutilation. They're the same ones that have no problem with all kinds of craziness going on with drag queens and all this other mess happening. It's the same group of people. But also it's coming from a party that was the very party of slavery. It's the very same party that had the KKK, the very same party that put in the Jim Crow laws. It's scary. But we got to remember what scriptures say. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't just come to do one thing. He comes to do a whole flood of things. And we're dealing with a flood of attacks. Now, the worst part of this flood of attacks that we're dealing with right now, and the black church is feeling the most, and I'm going to tell you, just give me a few minutes, I'm going to tell you why the black church is having a tough time. That's the 2 Kings and 24th chapters when the book of Daniel really starts. And God get upset with Judah over the sins of Manasseh. And Manasseh hadn't been king for a while. But God got upset with Manasseh for all the things he had done and sent waves of even the enemies of God. He used his own enemies to attack Judah. But he said he did it for the sins of Manasseh and because he shed innocent blood in Jerusalem, which the Lord would not pardon. And that's a dangerous verse. God got upset with them shedding blood in one city. What does God do with a nation that sheds blood in many cities? So here we are. Now, the Bible is very distinct, and you all know the scriptures very well. The biggest scripture ever, all the churches are out there quoting, is going to my people who are called by my name, who will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Black churches are in trouble especially. In 2008, in November, all the prayers of a lot of black churches across this nation got shut down. That was in November 2008. Why? Because they were proud. They were proud that they had a man that had skin color the same as theirs into the White House. And see, when you read 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's a very dangerous verse. We like to look at all of it. You got to look at the first part of it. If my people, and we're talking about Christians and people that are going to church, people that believe in the name of the Lord, will call by my name, will humble themselves, and right there, if they are not humble, the rest of that verse does not count. It stops. It ends. The moment you're no longer humble, you can pray, seek his face, and do all the other mess. But if you are proud, God resists the proud. And this is where we stand. James 4:6, he gives more grace. But it also says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In the Bible, it's so in James 4:7, it goes further and says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But if we are proud, God is resisting us. So it's very important that we don't be proud. And I get upset with everybody being proud. People like to sing their song, proud to be an American. Nope, leave that alone. You can say, I'm blessed to be an American. Fine. But when you start talking about you're proud to be something, it's lookout time. And with the black churches, I saw those prayers get shut down right there, and people are still suffering from it. They totally ignored Martin Luther King. He said, I look to the day when people will be judged by the color of their skin, not by the country. I look to a day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Let me say it straight. In other words, he was saying, he wanted people to be judged by their character, not their skin color. And I remember I met this Senator Obama, and you got to understand what we're up against. We're up against something so massive. If you ever watch a good spy movie or something on TV and all those movies out there, they're trying to throw you a hint. It's massive. I remember going to a Christian conference with scientists, and those scientists that told us, watch Gattaca. And Gattaca talked about how they would use technology to see what your DNA were and to know what your future was going to be and what you'd be qualified for, how to change a baby eye color, the whole thing. There are things that are out there that is more massive than we can ever believe. So when we're dealing with what's happening, especially in that Obama situation, things just got wild. But things have been wild before that. We just didn't take notice of it. What nation can kill off a president like John F. Kennedy, and even to this day, they still don't know the things of it? There's a lot of things going on that are way beyond what we really need to. We got to understand, we're coming at it from different forces. A lot of forces fight. But with the black churches especially, they voted for him. They took him. And they didn't. I remember the first time I got there was a pastor's group in Louisiana. They got so upset with me. One of their vice president called me and said, "Dr. Hunter, you lost credibility with us. You said that Barack Obama was not pro-life, and he just spoke to the convention. He said he's pro-life." And I tried to tell him, no, he's trying to redefine what pro-life is. Leftist group will do that in a minute. You're not dealing with liberals. You're dealing with leftists. You're dealing with Marxists. And they'll do that in a heartbeat. And I remember him being so upset, and that he said, "No, but I get their website." And he showed me, and it was a very weird way. I remember calling my daughter up in Philadelphia saying, "Tell me," because she's the younger generation, that group must take. She said, "No, Dad, he got double websites, all kinds of triple websites, depending on who you are." She said, "Let me show you another one." "No, that one, that's the one for the pastors." "Yeah." "Now let me show you." And they showed another one that they sent out to the LGBTQ people. Another one they sent out to the Planned Parenthood kind of folks. And if you read it, he was whatever people want to be. That's why he voted president so much. But a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it wasn't just Abraham Lincoln that said. Abraham Lincoln was quoting Jesus, Mark 3, 24 through 26. A house divided against cannot stand. So if you notice what Democrat Party do, they vote lock, stock, barrel, loop, step, right in step. But the day is going to come, they will split. And when Satan has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand and has an end. But right now, Christians, we need to get together. We need to stand tighter. We need to be with it. Common sense will tell you, and you got to use your common sense, that Biden sitting in that basement where there was no way in the world he could have won that election. But you also got to think, there was no way in the world that a junior senator who somehow was elected in Chicago, Shabroom headline said, first Kenyan senator. And all of a sudden, now you cannot find that statement anywhere, not even the Chicago Tribune. It's clearly wiped off every website out there. So we're dealing with something larger. So since we're dealing with something larger, all we got to remember, we got to deal with God. Now, if we can stay faithful with God, if we can stay humble, if we can get the revelation and take the vision, that's why we did that Martha 21. I noticed something in the thing. God had tried to give the nation a chance with the Dred Scott decision. If they got it right, we could have avoided a civil war. We had a chance, but we missed it by 72 Supreme Court saying God tried to do it for abortion. And that was when they take the Roe v. Wade. 72 Supreme Court decision. They got it wrong again. It was not a person. Could not be protected. Same thing like Dred Scott. And I remember sending that to Life Dynamics after our research team did some stuff. And we found out, whoa, it ran deeper. They found out. They said, yes, what you have is right, Dr. Hunter, but you got to come to Texas. We need to show you what's really going down. And we sent them our information, which we found out was total 100% accurate. But we found out it was worse. It went right back to that same thing, right back into slavery. And they were connected. And I found out we weren't dealing with a parallel fight. It's the exact same fight still going on. Now, the problem is, when you have slaves, you got some blacks that are ready to get off that field. They've been working hard. But you got some other blacks that have been in that slave house. And the ones that have been in the slave house are going to be, slavery not going to be that bad to them. Remember Harriet Tubman? She got a lot of people off, but she didn't get everybody off. But she got a lot of people off. But everybody did not want to come off that plantation. And that's what we're dealing with now. So when you hear Bishop Jackson and others start talking about, well, it's time for a Blexit now. We got to exit. He's sending an alarm that somebody like Harriet Tubman would put out there. He's sending an alarm that abolitionists would send out there. You got to get off that plantation. Because if you don't, you buy into what they're saying. And we found out that they zeroed in on the black community to make sure, since we were free, we were going to be dead. And you got to understand that, and I may be saying it like it's real simple. The whole movie is over 2 hours long if you ever watch it. And that was only a fifth of what we know. Well, not that's a fifth of what we know, but if we ever get sued, we'll show you more. Meanwhile, I'm saying this because blacks have been duped. Planned Parenthood paid over $1 million to an ad agency to come out what was the best way to promote abortion in the black community. They came out with pro-choice. All of this was really well rigged, regulated, everything. And you're looking at a media, which I thought was, wow, I thought it was kind of out there, but it was only when Trump got elected I found out how bad it was. Trump called it a swamp. It's not a swamp. It's an abyss. This thing is deeper than even what he was looking at. And when you're dealing with something like this, this means you have to be with God. You got to be on God's side because he is the one that cannot be defeated. The gates of hell, Abundance Rock, I'll build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Folks, we got to hold on to the truth, hold on to Jesus, and we got to keep hitting at the black community that's out there. And every one of them that's out there, once they see Marfa 21, they wake up. And every black church out there now is still not on board. Most of them are not. And I'm sorry to say that, but if you want to find out where they are, there are blacks. If you want to find out where they are, they're with CURE, SOS Parker, Coalition for Urban Renewal Education. Where else can you find them? You can find them at Frederick Douglass Foundation. Where else can you find them? Listen to Stan. Get with Bishop Jackson. And you'll find out there's people like Bishop Donald Fozard in Durham, North Carolina. When I showed him what was going on in Durham, I remember he did something very few pastors ever did. They were building an abortion clinic not too far from his church. He had it shut down before it could even kill one child. He didn't picket the abortion clinic. Being a man of God, he prayed, brought me down to share the vision with his people. He said, because they got to hear from the vision. He said, I got 2,000 folks. I can't move 2,000, but I can move 1,000 every day in there. He said, brother, you come here to my church, preach my name, and we'll get them out there. And he didn't picket the abortion clinic that they had just finished building. He picketed every business that was in that area. And they said, why are you doing this? We're not killing babies. He said, no. He said, but you allowed them to come in and slaughter my community. And that church stood. But Bishop Fozard, not only, we got Bishop Wooten down out there. We actually have Ryan Bernberger, who have Radius Foundation. These organizations exist. They are alive and they're well. Now, Bishop, I know I'm going out of time here, so you can go ahead and interrupt me here for a moment, because I just want to end up by saying to everybody, we are going to have to keep going. If you're white, don't be intimidated. If you're black, don't be intimidated. Be like the young folks are doing, and they're going, they're looking at whatever the truth is, and they're going that way. If you want to know what blacks in Chicago are thinking, you need to check out Chicago, because the media is trying to cover it up. They're trying to make sure you don't hear about it, but Chicago is inviting Donald Trump to come to them now. They do not want any more of this mess coming in. The borders are down, and they know it, and they've had enough of it. The first time I got involved in the pro-life movement, I also had been on Nightline. This was back in 1990. And you would think that I was, because I'm going to let people know, wait a minute, I'm not the first black involved. There was Pastor LaVon Ewell who held a, in 1989, he had held a rescue, and that's what they call it. He actually did a picket inside the abortion clinic where his black church and all his congregation went in and chained themselves inside the abortion clinic, and then police came out and arrested them. They also took away the cameras from the news media, would not let the news report it, because they did not want people to know that blacks was against the abortion clinic. That was 1989. And then when I came along and I was going to be on Nightline, they had me arrested on the day that I was going to be on Nightline, booked me in jail, locked me up, and I was in jail for 9 days. The lawyers could not get me out of jail because I had not been charged. And it took Amnesty International to come to Buffalo, New York, and get me out of that jail. Folks, there's a bigger play at play, but you keep going on because God is with us. When Bishop Jack said, hey, let's stay on God's side, 100% right.
Amen. 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 Well, Dr. Hunter is always inspiring and encouraging. Folks, press star 6 to get in queue to ask any questions you want to ask. I want to start with this question. You brought it up. I've said to people, I really believe that the Democrat Party, with the killing of unborn babies, is playing the same game it played during slavery. And what was it? To try to convince people that these are not really human beings. That they're really not like the rest of us. This is something different. So we can do this stuff to them because this is right. This is good. This is okay. And convincing people that, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. They're really not quite human like us, and they don't do that. I mean, so do you see this as really kind of the same moral argument that babies in the womb are not really human and therefore – whatever you do to them, kill them, rip them apart, discard them, it doesn't really matter. Just like killing a slave was not illegal. It was not, you know, if you killed a slave, it was not a crime. It was your property. You just lost some property. That's all. So do you find the same thing is true? I mean, do you see an analogy between these two in terms of what the Democrat Party is trying to sell the country?
Bishop Jackson, that's precisely what's happening. But they're not only just doing it with the babies. They're killing them while they're here, but they're also working on them even after they get here. Notice why they don't. They notice how they. A lot of people think, "Oh my goodness, you shouldn't use the word nigger." You know, that's the biggest thing nowadays. Don't use that N word. Oh my goodness, I was a stillborn child, and a lady told me, she said, "Don't you never get mad at anybody call you that, because I call you that first when you were born and slapped me, gave me a slap, woke me up." Anyway, that's another whole story. But the bottom line of it is, you got these rap artists out there using the word left and right. And the reason they're using left and right, because somebody's being paid to make us downgrade and think less of ourselves. And then you got a young lady gets pregnant, and they got guys that are making sure that they can downgrade this girl even after they get her pregnant. All they want to do is use her. And if that's not bad enough, the government has stepped in, put them on welfare, got that man out the house. We know the story. Got that man out of the house. All this coming from the Democrats with Johnson and all this thing. Johnson signing that civil rights thing. And it's, oh, my goodness. There's mess out there, and they're making us think less of themselves from the rep right on through, not even just while there's a little baby in the womb, but even after they get out, they make blacks think they're still dumb, stupid. The reason Hitler went after the Jews was because the Jews had first introduced blacks over in Canada, not in Canada, in Germany. The first group he got rid of that the history books are not telling you about, he got rid of blacks first. He got rid of Negroes first, then he went after Jews.
Wow. Folks, press star 6 to get in queue. I don't have my laptop in front of me, so you all are going to have to guide me. But that was going to bring me to the next question. And if there are calls on, just text me or let me know some way. But here's the next question I want to ask you. You were instrumental in having Margaret Sanger removed from the Portrait Gallery. You and I worked on that together. I kind of helped get it started. You picked up the ball, and Brother Childress picked up the ball and made sure she was out of the civil rights. Tell us a little bit about Margaret Sanger, too, because I think most people here probably know, but some may not know the depths of Margaret Sanger's racism.
Yes, and I always say, when you're going to talk about Margaret Sanger, don't even just call her racist. Call her what she is, a white supremacist, because this was somebody that was solely sold out. We had thought that, you know, she must have picked this up from Hitler. No, Hitler learned that from Margaret Sanger. She took that mess, or that eugenics mess, came from the United States over into Germany. She was having an affair with one of Hitler's officers while she was married to another man over here. Now, so you're dealing with somebody who came out with an idea that the best way to get rid of Negroes, Italians, and Jews, some of the earth, as she considered, was abortion. And she went all out to do it. But the worst part of it is when they came over with the Negro Project. And a lot of people don't realize it, but that Tuskegee syphilis experiment, that was another extension going further. Planned Parenthood was involved in that, and the government took the hit for it, but they were behind that mess. But Margaret Sanger literally said, well, we don't want word to go out, get out there. We want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister can string that out if ever cursed one or more from the bear your members, you know. And pastors start getting bought out. I hate to say it now, but right here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I met a fellow, and I told him I would never say his name, so I won't be good. He was a white gentleman who had to deliver envelopes during election time to certain churches around here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, to the black churches. A nice, big, fat envelope. And finally, one of the churches, one of the pastors stopped him because he wanted to make sure open it. He said it got, and there was a wad of cash from the Democratic Party in that envelope. And it gave him all the flyers and the voter things, too. Margaret Sanger, the main thing was, let's convince the ministers to go along with us. And that's what's going on to this day.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking when you think about it, because you can't justify that by any scripture, so it does kind of make you wonder. Well, look, in the time we've got left, talk to us about the future of the pro-life movement, because right now given the fact that a lot of politicians, some of these conservative politicians too, are afraid of suburban women. They say suburban women are afraid that their reproductive rights are being taken away, and you got to soften your stand, and you can't take too hard a stand on abortion because you're going to lose votes. And we've seen that kind of move because people are afraid that that's what's causing. They thought they were going to take the that Republicans would take the Congress, that lockdown, hands down, no problem. And instead, they barely maintained a majority. And right now, they've only got one vote. So, talk to us about the future of the pro-life movement. Is America going to become a pro-life nation? Because that's the dream, that's the vision, a nation that honors life. Is that where we're headed, or do you think the left is winning the PR battle?
Right now, the left is winning the PR battle because the mainstream media folks out there, they only know one side. We're dealing with a propaganda machine worse than anything. When I was a little boy, I used to be so glad I was brought up in America and didn't have to deal with the communist propaganda. And I'm finding out, yes, we are dealing with a propaganda machine. They're putting out only one side. But at the same time, I just come from a national conference with the Heartbeat International Conference in Salt Lake City. Pat and I just returned from that. And in that one, we learned some things. Right now, the majority of abortions are now being used with a pill. They're giving the girls this morning after pill. They call it Plan B in college campuses. And you have to understand now, in a lot of places here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, that Plan B is in high operation. But we also met a doctor who got in trouble because he found a way, if that girl took their first pill and she changed her mind, and most girls take it, they regret it the moment they do, they can reverse the abortion pill. Now, Heartbeat, it does spoke to us about the introduce as doctor that's done that twice now. They brought a doctor in Salt Lake City. And while we were there, they have now gotten sued for disinformation. They got sued by California, and then they turned around. But at the end of the conference, by the time we were leaving, they got sued by New York for disinformation. But the reverse abortion pill does work. It can work. But we are going to win. The only reason we're going to win is because God's going outside. But we got to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing. Right now, the new battles are being fought. You know, when you talked about us getting Margaret Singer out of there, you know, you boom, pick that ball, and then remember the late Reverend Rivers? He was right there with us, Bruce Rivers. And my right-hand man, my Elijah, Clonard Child, every one of us who are older now, we have to have our Elijahs ready so that when we drop out and go, and when I start talking about dropping out, I'm talking about dropping out of this life and head on to our next life.
Amen.
We who can finish this battle. And Clonard Childress can do that for us. He not only picked up the rings and he kept going, he brought his church down, brought his people down, and they marched, and we embarrassed that group, and we were gonna take it up a notch. So the good thing they moved her. They got that statue out there. They had Margaret Singer's plaque between Rosa Parker and Martin Luther King the first time they put it out there. And when we start hitting them, and you start hitting them, then they kind of moved it over a little bit. And we hit them again. Then soon we kept hitting them, and they took it completely out. And this is what the church has to keep doing. Keep hitting. In the black community, all the women are not there. What right now, there have been three showings of Mafia set up here in North Carolina. And it's set up by a black woman named Selena Morrell. Her pastor, her husband is a pastor. And you got this black sister, her and Lakeisha and other blacks. When they've seen it, they are now pushing it forward. So I hope pastors don't get nervous. I hope people don't get nervous about how they're going to vote. What they got to do is just hold on to the truth. And like I said, look at Chicago. People are rethinking now, and things are going on. And when you see people like Selena and them, and you hear when something's going on, back them up 100%, and we're going to be just fine.
Well, amen. Well, that's very encouraging. So speaking of backing up, tell people, first of all, tell them about your show. You've got your own podcast, but also how they can support LEARN, how they can support your work. Because I tell my people all the time, everything we do costs money. So how can people support the work that you are doing?
Oh, just go on our website. It's LEARNINC, LEARNINC.org. LEARNINC. Most of the stuff LEARN do, we keep it rather on the low-key side. If you really want to know what we're up to, glance at the website a little bit closer than the average person would. LEARNINC.org. But also, if you really want to know what we're up to, listen to my podcast. Actually, it's a radio program we do right here in North Carolina, and it runs every Thursday. But I know you can't pick up a station here in North Carolina. Our flagship station is WCLN Christian 105.7. That's our flagship station. It runs Thursday. But after that, it goes out to all the podcasts. Go to jcsradio.org, jcsradio.org, and you'll see the podcast. And you can see the episodes that we've had there. And I've been honored because I have people like Bishop Jackson on that program, who has his own program now. But he made a powerful impact. I have Dr. Epinecki that's been on there. So you can see where it is coming from, some of the things I have. So, it's a number of people. But you'll see blacks and whites from around this nation that are very united. And they're especially united for saving children. And all of them have one thing in common. They all believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what's going to say.
Amen. Well, Dr. Johnny Hunter, I have to say this before you go. You know, a lot of people talk about being pro-life. You have obviously added action to it. You don't just talk about it. You are doing things to try to make it easier to save the lives of unborn children. And like I said, you will always be a hero in my book for doing so and for calling the black community to account for being engaged in suicide. I mean, because that's to me, that's what it is. When you're killing your own children, your own unborn babies in your communities, you're committing suicide. So
yes.
you've been a clarion voice for this, like I said, I mean, for as long as I can remember. And there are many voices, obviously, that you've mentioned some of them, but yours is certainly one of the preeminent ones. So please keep up the good work, and everybody encourage him, give to him, support him, pray for him and for his lovely wife and for their ministry, because we need their voices until America becomes a nation that stops killing our unborn babies. So,
amen.
Dr. Hunter, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah. And Bishop Jackson, one way people can help, when they go on our website, just pick out one of those people you'd like to come and speak at your thing. The chairman of our board is Dr. Haywood Robinson. He's a former black abortionist. And his brother's still black, but he still don't do abortion no more because he got saved at a Leon Petrillo concert. And when you hear when you're a former abortionist, you get to hear the real thing. That brother can do what any pastor out there, sometimes you might be afraid to bring in other pastors or other people, or bring in their former abortionists, the one that was Saul to Paul conversion experience.
Wow.
And
wow.
They would turn the light on for you.
Well, brother, listen, you're going to be with me on June the 11th. You're one of our honorees at the Stand Awards dinner. And along with Brigitte Gabriel and Pastor Gary Hamrick, who am I leaving out? Posthumously, we're honoring posthumously another pro-life hero, Bishop Dean Nelson, honoring him.
Yes.
Oh, and Sandy Rio. So you're going to be among some real warriors for righteousness, and we are just so looking forward to that. So everybody, go to our website, standamerica.us, buy tickets, sign up to be there to support the work, because we are giving the George Washington Award for taking a stand to these American heroes who are standing on the front lines for all of us. So, Dr. Hunter, I'm looking forward to seeing you there and to honoring you, and we're going to have a wonderful time.
Amen. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Amen. All right. All right. God bless you, brother. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. God bless us, Janine.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye now. Well, folks, I've already mentioned the dinner, so I don't need to say more about that. If you're capable of sponsoring the dinner, we're looking for 50 sponsors. We're up to only 18, so we got a long way to go to get to 50, but I believe that 50 sponsors are out there somewhere. You may be one of them. Sponsorships start at $1,500. You get a free table. It's not free exactly, but you get a table of eight. You get two tickets to the reception. And we would just really appreciate your help. We're trying to raise the entire annual budget with this dinner because it would be a tremendous help to us and take a lot of pressure off of me to be able to raise money for projects rather than just raising money to just function as an organization. So, folks, help us. Pray for us. If you can't do any of the you can't buy a $125 ticket or sponsor $1,500 sponsorship, just give $5, give $10, give $15, $20, $25. Sign up as a Patriot partner. Whatever you can do would be most appreciated, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing, keep standing up for life. I wanted you all to hear from Johnny Hunter because he is one of those old-school pro-life warriors that really need to be heard from, who just tells it like it is. He pulls no punches, and I really appreciate that about him. He's honest. He's forthright. And some people may be a little bit put off because they think, well, you know, he's raw. But we need some rawness. We need it because the left is just they're wrecking the country. They're destroying our moral foundations. Somebody's got to stand up and say no and expose them for what they really are. And what they really are is pure evil. They are anti-God. They are anti-Christian. They are anti-Semitic. They are anti-American, and they are anti-truth. And we have got to defeat them, and we got to defeat them not with violence. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've got to defeat them with the word of God, with truth, with courage, with steadfastness, absolute refusal to be defeated. We defeat them by absolutely refusing to quit. Now, you've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. Oh, by the way, don't forget, I will be on this coming Thursday for Truth and Liberty, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Got a very special program planned for you. I'll have Brigitte Gabriel on as my guest, but I'm also going to have people from Liberty Council to talk about the World Health Organization doing a power grab that really attempts to take over the sovereignty of nations, including the United States of America, and dictate to us what our policies must be once a pandemic is declared. This is madness. And we're going to be talking about that and talking about the danger this poses to our country and to our sovereignty. So, folks, be sure to tune into that. That's this coming Thursday, 5:30 p.m. I'm in Colorado right now. I'll be in the studio for that program. And so I hope that all of you will tune in, gospeltruth.tv and truthandliberty.net. So look, in the meantime, folks, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.